Welcome and thank you for joining us for the Church by the Glades podcast. If you would like more information about Church by the Glades, including service times and directions, visit cbglades.com. We hope you enjoy today's message.
All right, what's going on, Church by the Glades? So glad you guys are joining us from wherever you're watching right now, whether it's our online campus. Hey, let's give it up for our online campus. People watching all over the world right now. Maybe our Lake Worth campus up in Palm Beach County, fellas down in Dade, CI, ladies down in Homestead. I'm so glad that you're joining us this weekend for Church by the Glades. For those that don't know, my name is Nick. I am the student pastor to the best students on the planet in the Wave Student Ministry. So good that you guys are here. So glad. But before we go any further, I do have to stop and acknowledge this. This church is so amazing. And I know what you're thinking, like, of course you have to say, like, how much did Pastor David pay you to say that? You're a flipping pastor on staff. And while that may be true, while I am a pastor here at this church, I'm going to rip a page out of Pastor David's playbook and say, just because I'm biased does not make me wrong. I really do believe this with all of my heart. Like, this is the best church on the planet. We have the best leaders on the planet in Pastor David and Lisa Hughes. We're not a perfect church, but we are an amazing church, and I'm so glad to be a part of it. Like, I don't think you understand. My life is so much better because of this church. Like, I got saved at this church. Yes, absolutely. I got saved at this church. I was baptized at this church. I grew in my faith at this church. I found my purpose at this church. I found my ministry at this church. I got married at this church. Yes. And how about this one? This one's new. I'm having my first baby at this church. My wife Stacy and I were expecting a baby boy in June, our very first baby. As a matter of fact, I have a picture of my beautiful wife. I need you to see this because, hello, oh my goodness gracious, look at her. Like, she's so fine, I had to make her mine. I had to lock it down before she got wise and left. Oh, she's the best, and I really can't say this because it's true. I'm such a blessed man. And I've done nothing to deserve it, by the way. I need you to understand that I've done nothing to deserve anything that I have. It is only because of the grace of God that I have it. And I won't stop saying this till I'm blue in the face. Even though it came from God, He used this church as the delivery system to give me everything I have. So hear from me. Take it from me right now. You are in the right place. You are tuning in to the right church. Make it a holy habit to be in the house with your family, because I really do believe that God can change your life if you do. So it is so good to be with you this weekend. I'm so glad that you're here. The scripture that we'll be reading from today is found in John chapter 1. John chapter 1, if you would turn with me there in your Bibles. It's an incredible story about two brothers, one of which you probably already know. You're probably already aware of one of these brothers because he's one of the greatest Christians of all time, one of Jesus' disciples. His name was Peter. Saint Peter, as some know him by, the disciple or the apostle Peter. And if you don't know who he is, that's okay. He was one of Jesus' 12 disciples. But more than that, he was one of Jesus' closest three disciples, one of his closest friends. It was Peter, James, and John. He was so close to Jesus that Jesus had Peter on his close friends on IG story. You know, the green circle that you see? Yeah, he had Jesus on his close friends. He was one. Peter was the only human in history outside of Jesus to walk on water. The miracle of walking on water, that was Peter. Peter was the one that Jesus declared would become the rock upon which he would build the church. He was this prominent leader in the early church. And it was much of the church's early growth was because of Peter's faithfulness to God. He was this incredible leader, incredible follower of Jesus. But what we're about to read in John chapter 1 is not a highlight reel of Peter. It's not one of his high moments in his life. What we're about to read in John chapter 1 is Peter's origin story. Now, if you don't know what an origin story is, it's probably because you're not a superhero nerd like myself, but that's okay if you don't know. An origin story is a backstory or an established background narrative that informs us of the identity and motivations of superheroes and supervillains. For example, my favorite superhero is Spider-Man. I love me some Spider-Man. Yes, one happy person for Spider-Man. I love Spider-Man. Put in the chat right now what your favorite superhero is, whether it's Iron Man or Batman, Black Widow, Captain Marvel, Captain America, whoever your favorite superhero is, put it in the chat right now. I'd love to know. But although I don't know your favorite superhero, I do know this about your favorite superhero. They did not start the way that you know them as today. They did not start out with all of this courage. They did not start out with all of this superhuman strength. They did not start out the way that you know and love them as today. In the case of Spider-Man, he started out as this young, punk, quirky high school kid named Peter Parker. He was super smart, but not spectacular by any means. And one day, him and his class, they go on this field trip to a nuclear laboratory. Sounds like a terrible place to bring high school kids, but whatever. They went to a nuclear laboratory, and they were studying all this stuff for science, which is awesome. And one of the exhibits that they went by was a radioactive spider exhibit. Now, this exhibit was great, even though spiders are from the devil. This exhibit was awesome. This radioactive spider thing was great. And they were learning all about the web and what it was going to do for research and all this cool stuff. But one of these radioactive spiders got loose. Exactly. Terrible. Spiders are the worst. One of these radioactive spiders got loose, and it found its way to Peter Parker's hand. And it bit Peter Parker. This radioactive spider, it bit him. And that is what enabled him to have all this superhuman strength, the ability to climb on walls like a spider, to shoot webs out of his wrist. And most famously gave him this sense that alerted him when danger was nearby. All of this amazing stuff because of something as small as a radioactive spider. So the giant of the faith that we know him as today, Peter. How did Peter get his start? Let's read his origin story found in John chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 35. And the verses will be on the screen as well so you can follow along. Here's what the Bible says. Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples. John being John the Baptist, the one who would prepare the way for Jesus, prepare the way for the coming Messiah. John stood with two disciples and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speak and they started to follow Jesus. Then Jesus turned and seeing them following, he said to them, "What do you seek?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say when translated, "teacher, where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour or 4 p.m. in our own terms. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Andrew, he first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which when translated means the Christ. Some of y'all thought Jesus Christ was his first and last name. It's not Jesus Christ, first name, Jesus, last. "Hey, Mr. Christ, how you doing today? Everything good with the family? Everything good? God bless you, love you." That's not how it goes. It's not first name, Jesus, last name, Christ. His name is Jesus. And his title is Christ. He is Jesus the Christ. He is Jesus the Messiah. He is Jesus the Savior. He is Jesus the Redeemer. He is Jesus Christ. "We found the Messiah," Andrew told Simon. And Andrew brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah, but you shall now be called Cephas." Cephas is the Aramaic translation, but if you were to translate it into Greek, it would say Petros. And that's where we get Peter from, but both Petros and Cephas, they mean the rock. They mean the rock. So Simon had this encounter with Jesus where Jesus gave him a nickname, and he changed his name and quite literally changed the trajectory of Peter's life. But it was only because Andrew went and got his brother and brought him along for the ride. So what you need to understand today is that we're not preaching a sermon about the superhero of the faith that is Peter. We're not preaching a sermon about Spider-Man. This is a sermon about the radioactive spider. This is a sermon about Andrew. Because Peter gets his day in the spotlight all day long. He's always talked about, and rightfully so. Peter is an amazing man of God, great follower of Jesus, had so much to do with the kingdom of God. But I don't think Andrew gets enough credit. I don't think Andrew gets enough time in the spotlight. I think Andrew's amazing because there is no Peter without Andrew. Peter would still be Simon if it wasn't for Andrew. You see, I think Andrew was a very faithful member of Church by the Glades. What are you saying, Nick? Okay, here's what I mean by that. A lot of people ask, and if you're one of these people, by the way, thank you so much for joining us today and asking your God questions with us. But a lot of people ask, hey, what is Church by the Glades all about? Like, y'all know you're crazy, right? Why do you do the things that you do? Well, what is Church by the Glades all about? Maybe, do you have a mission statement to help me understand why you do the things that you do? And our answer is always this. We don't necessarily have an original mission statement. If you didn't know this, Pastor David's a plagiarizer. He plagiarized our mission statement. We don't have an original, carefully curated statement that would declare our mission. We're a very simple house. We're all about two things. We're about Jesus and His Word. So our mission statement comes from the words of Jesus. Jesus commissioned His followers. Jesus commissioned His disciples to do something after He left this earth. And that is where our mission statement comes from. So if you're asking us, hey, what's your mission statement here at Church by the Glades? Our answer will always be, our default setting is the Great Commission. Our default setting is the Great Commission. Now, what is the Great Commission? If you don't know, that's okay. It's found in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. It'll be on the screen right behind me, and I'd love for you to read the highlighted word with me when we get there. But remember, this is Jesus speaking to people that would consider themselves followers of Him, disciples of Him, people that would declare Jesus as their Lord. This is what Jesus said to all of His followers and His commission to them. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So our mission as Jesus followers, our mission here on this planet, our mission at Church by the Glades is to go and reach more people with the good news of Jesus, to reach people with the gospel of Jesus, to tell people about Jesus, to tell people that, hey, Jesus has changed my life and He can change yours too. That is our mission. But our mission is also to baptize. So we do something every year around Easter. We do a Sunrise Beach baptism. And I cannot think of a more brilliant time, a more beautiful time to obey the words of Jesus and to celebrate His resurrection than being baptized on the very morning He rose from the grave. Like, what a beautiful picture you're painting. You're rising out of the water as the sun rises over the horizon on the very morning He rose from the grave. What a beautiful picture. Like Pastor David always says, do not delay your obey. Be baptized this Easter. If you need any information, go to our website. Go to our lobby at one of our physical locations. Get all the information you need. Sign up to be baptized and obey the command of Jesus. But this is why I would say that Andrew was a faithful Church by the Glades member. Because he quite literally made a disciple out of his brother, Andrew. Andrew made a disciple out of his brother, Peter. Peter became one of the 12 disciples. So I think it's time that we spend a little time talking about Andrew. I think we should talk about Andrew because Andrew was this great man that we can learn a lot about how to be great from. So what made Andrew so great? Well, I see this in Andrew. He had an unselfish desire to see other people win. Andrew had an unselfish desire to see other people win. Because when you look at the passage, you see that Andrew, he was hanging out with John the Baptist when Jesus pulls up on the scene. And John the Baptist says about Jesus, "Behold, the Lamb of God," which was a huge deal, especially to a Jew like Andrew. You see, because back in ancient Israel, they would sacrifice lambs to atone for the people's sin. Now, it was never meant to stay this way. They were never meant to sacrifice lambs for the rest of eternity to atone for the people's sin. It was only ever meant to be a foreshadowing of a greater lamb that was to come that would cleanse the sin of the world. So when John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God," he was referring to the final, sufficient, sinless sacrifice that would cleanse the sin of the world, and that was Jesus. So when John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God," Andrew's ears perked up. Whoa, the Lamb of God. And he started to follow Jesus. He started to spend time with Jesus. And somewhere along the way, Andrew became so convinced that Jesus was the Messiah that he was so excited, he went and got his brother. "Hey, Simon, I've met the Messiah. You need to come meet this dude. He's amazing." And he brings Simon to Jesus, and Jesus meets Simon. He says, "Your name will no longer be Simon. Your name will now be Peter, or the Rock." Now, let's be honest in church. Don't lie. I want to be honest for a second, because if I was Andrew, I would be heated. I would be so mad. Like, "Jesus, I spent all day with you. I was here first. Why did my brother become the Rock? Like, you didn't change my name. I can be Stone Cold. He can be the Rock. Like, maybe something. Give me something. You didn't do anything for me. I bring my brother and you name him the Rock? Really?" And if we're not careful, we can very quickly and easily slip into this mentality. You have seniority in your office, but someone else got the promotion. You've been working your tail off on the field, but someone else got the starting job. You've been trying to learn and understand the lay of the land, but someone else got the opportunity. So what we tend to do because of this possibility of people winning out over us, we tend to only look out for ourselves and our own desires and our own purposes. We only ever keep a tight grip on beneficial information, never sending it to anybody else, only ever keeping it to ourselves. And Andrew could have done this. He very well could have done this because remember, Peter was a messy guy. After he gave his life to Jesus, after he was transformed, after he was changed, he was still so crazy that he chopped a dude's ear off. Like, we're all on the same page. That's nuts, okay? Don't do that. So I can't imagine how messy and crazy he was before he met Jesus. He was probably even crazier. So I can just imagine Andrew being like, "Man, I am tired of my brother. I am tired of all the noogies. I am tired of all the pranks and all the older brother shenanigans. I've had this experience with Jesus. I've had my life changed by Jesus. So I'm going to spend the rest of my life following him, forgetting about everything in my past, including my brother." But he didn't do that, did he? No, because he wanted to see his brother changed. He wanted to see his brother win. He wanted his brother to experience everything he'd experienced in Jesus. And listen, there's no doubt Andrew was frustrated. I'm sure he was frustrated, but he still brought his brother to Jesus. So will you allow your fear or your frustration to get in the way of someone else's future? And listen, I'm not saying that you don't matter. You do matter. I'm not saying that Andrew didn't matter. What I am saying is that Andrew loved his brother so much that seeing him win was more important. Yeah. And what a beautiful display of humility. That is what humility is all about. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. Humility is just thinking of yourself less. That's what humility, some of you are still not tracking with me. Let me prove it to you. What does the Bible say about humility? Well, I think the Bible and its most clear definition of humility is found in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. There's a highlighted word I'd love for you to read, but before we get there, I want to acknowledge that maybe you've been coming for the last couple of months and you've heard this verse a couple of times, and maybe you're wondering why we've talked about it so much. Well, I'd say this. If you've heard this verse a couple of times, if it's been resounding with you a couple of times over the last couple of months, maybe God's trying to tell you something. Maybe he's trying to reveal to you something. So when you hear something multiple times, maybe it's time to listen up. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. This is what the Bible says. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Get ready. Rather in
humility.
Value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of other people. It's valuing other people above yourself. But we can get so caught up in trying to promote ourselves. We can get so caught up in trying to chase after our own dreams, after chasing the paper. We can get so caught up in trying to build our own brand, build our own social media, build our own legacy, that we never add value to someone else's life. Think of it like this. Andrew's only mentioned in the Bible 12 times. And four of those 12 times, literally one-third of the time that Andrew's mentioned in the Bible, is just in a list of the disciples' names. But Peter, on the other hand, oh my goodness, we have so much content about Peter. We have so much about him. There's churches named after him. There's all this stuff about Peter, this hero. But nothing about Andrew. You see, Andrew's greatest impact on the world, Andrew's greatest impact in the kingdom of God was through someone else. Peter is a product of Andrew. So this is my question for you. What if the greatest fruit of your life grew on someone else's tree? What if you started to view people as investments instead of intruders? What if you started to become so engulfed in building a legacy rather than becoming a leech? Me, me, me. What do I want? What is my social? What, me? Valuing others above yourself. I wonder what that would do in your office, with your marriage, in your life, with your kids. What would that do on the field if you were to value others above yourself? And listen, the world doesn't want you to hear this. The world wants you to be the protagonist. The world wants you to be the superhero. It's all about you when it comes to the world. But the Bible is very clear. Value others above yourself. It's this radical idea. But I would argue that you cannot properly value other people if you first don't have a proper understanding of your own value. And if I were to guess, if I were to take a poll of the room, I don't think I'd be surprised by this, sadly, but I think a lot of us wouldn't really understand our own value. Maybe you don't think very highly of yourself, or maybe someone told you along the way that you'll never be good enough, that you'll only ever be a failure, that you'll never be successful at anything you do, that you'll never amount to much. But I'm here to tell you today that you have inherent value. And here's how I know this. Jesus, he had this encounter with Simon and he changed his name to Peter. He gave him this nickname of the Rock. And then much later in Peter's life, he actually becomes the Rock. Jesus declares him as the Rock. So catch this. Way over here, Jesus gives him this nickname that he probably didn't understand. Peter probably didn't understand why Jesus called him the Rock, and it happened all the way over here. But much later, he actually becomes the Rock after being declared that he would be the Rock. Why is that important? Because the world will try and label you by your past. The world will try and label you by your problems. But Jesus will always label you by your potential. He sees something in you you don't see in yourself. He knows something about you you don't know about yourself. He's going to use you in ways you can't understand yet. Because he sees your potential and he values you. And I think Andrew understood this. I think Andrew understood his own value. I think Andrew understood the value of his brother. Because I think Andrew had an unmistaken value of people. He had an unmistaken value of people. And I think it's fair to assume that Andrew valued his brother. Remember, his brother Peter was a really messy guy. And it can be difficult to love and value messy people. Isn't that the truth? I mean, especially if they do something that irks you. Like, you ever met the loud chomper? In the office? Oh my God. You know? You ever met the person that just constantly talks during movies? Oh my good. I think it is okay to tell that person in Jesus' name, shut up! You ever been stuck behind the slow walker? Oh man, nothing makes me want to kick somebody more than being behind this. Like, do you have nowhere to go, people? Walk with some urgency. Oh, it can be difficult to love and value messy people. But despite all that, I think Andrew valued his brother. Why do I know that? Well, Andrew and his brother Peter were Jewish, remember, and that likely meant that they were raised in the temple, raised valuing God's word and the scripture and the Torah. And in the Torah, which is the first five books of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1 tells us that God, of everything that he created, God created the universe, God created the cosmos, God created the things that we know, he even created the things that we don't know. Of everything that God created, humanity, man and woman are the only thing that God created that were made in the divine image of himself, the divine image of God. And that gave Andrew value. That meant that Andrew was a bearer of God's image. That meant his brother Peter was a bearer of God's image. That means that you and I are bearers of God's image. And that gives us immense value. But we have something today that Andrew did not have in his day that helps us to greater understand our own value. I'll put it this way. Many of you may not know this about me, but I graduated with a bachelor's in business. And that's why I look so distinguished in a turtleneck, by the way. I graduated with a bachelor's in business, and we talk a lot about value in school because value can be very difficult to determine. It can be difficult to define and even measure sometimes. But if you were to strip down value into its most elementary of definitions, value has nothing to do with price. Value has nothing to do with cost. Value has everything to do with willingness. What do I mean by that? Well, let's take this LeBron James rookie card, for example. This LeBron James rookie card is spectacular because not only does it have a swatch of a game-worn jersey by LeBron in the middle there, infused into the card, but it also has a signature at the bottom. Now, that's not a stamp. LeBron James actually took a Sharpie and wrote that on the card. So it's this really dope two-for-one LeBron James rookie card. And when this rookie card came out, it came in a pack of 36 other cards. Cards like Carmelo Anthony and Dwayne Wade, incredible Hall of Fame caliber basketball players. So insane, this rookie card in the pack, 36 others, costed $500. Now, that's really steep for 36 pieces of paper. I understand. But this one card today, this one LeBron James rookie card today just got auctioned off and is valued at $1.8 million. So how in the world did a card that once costed $500 in a pack of 36 of them now get valued at $1.8 million by itself? Here's how. Value is not determined by what is written on the price tag. Value is determined by what someone is willing to pay for it. So what determines your value? Because the world, it will try and label you plenty of things. It will try and write on your price tag things that aren't true about you. Things like damaged goods, things like failure, things like cheater, things like addict, things like never good enough, things like never gonna amount to much, things like this. And if we're not careful, we can superimpose what the world has written on our price tag onto our own worth and value and start to diminish what we think about ourselves. But thank God that our value is not determined by what is written on our price tag. Our value is determined by what God was willing to pay for you, and he was willing to send and sacrifice his one and only son to die a death he did not deserve, to rise again on the third day, so that if we would believe in him, we would have everlasting life. Freedom found in Jesus. And if you're asking me, that gives you immense value. So it's important to understand your own value. But remember, I don't think it's possible to properly value people in your life if you don't first understand your own value. How do I know that? Well, let's look at what Jesus said. What's the greatest commandment of all time? What did Jesus say? He said, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, body, and strength. And then to love your neighbor as you love yourself. So it is important to understand your own value and to love yourself, but that's not enough. You have to understand your own value and then love and value people in your life. That's what it's all about. It's understanding your own value so that you can love and value the people in your life. Because what God gives to you is never just meant to stay with you. It's always meant to flow through you. And I think that Andrew understood this. I think he got it. I think Andrew, he understood the proper response. And likewise, I think we have to have an understanding of the proper response. You see, he met Jesus, and then he went and got his brother and brought him into the mix. So what is the proper response? Well, let's look at John chapter 1. Back to the passage. Verse 40, the Bible says, one of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Get ready to read. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah. The very first thing that Andrew did after meeting Jesus, after experiencing Jesus, was he went and got his brother and brought him along and said, I've just met the Messiah. You need to meet him too. Which is always the proper response. You've had your life changed by Jesus. You've met Jesus. You've experienced Jesus. Then you go and tell other people, he changed my life and he can change yours too. I'd go as far to say that you probably don't value people if you don't take what God has given to you, if you don't take what you've experienced in here and go and bring it out there. But how do I do that, Nick? So many people ask, how do I share my faith? I don't know how to do that. I'm scared to do that. Remember, we're a simple house. It's just Jesus and his word. So what did Jesus do? How did he do this? Let's emulate Jesus. Going back to the passage, John chapter 1, verse 38. The Bible says, then Jesus turned and seeing them following, he said to them, what do you seek? They said to him, Rabbi, where are you staying? Get ready to read. He said to them, come and see. Come and see. Going down just a couple of verses, Jesus calls his next two disciples in John chapter 1. He calls Philip and Nathanael. He has this experience with Philip. Philip is convinced he's the Messiah. He runs to Nathanael. Nathanael, I've met the one whom the Old Testament and the law prophesy about. I've met the one whom Moses was speaking of. He's the Messiah. His name is Jesus of Nazareth. Nathanael says, Nazareth? What good can come out of Nazareth? Nazareth is tiny. That's no place for a king. And instead of trying to tackle the difficult question that Nathanael asked, all Philip said was, come and see. He said, come and see for yourself. So how do you share your faith? Come and see. Come and see the Messiah who's changed my life. Come and meet this guy, Jesus, who's done something in me I could have never done in myself. Come and see for yourself. How do you invite people to church? Come and see my crazy cool church. Come and see all these LEDs. Come and see the insane creativity. Come and see this pastor who's obviously reading my emails. How does he know everything I've ever done? Come and see for yourself. And if you didn't know, that's my story. I told you all the amazing things this church has done for me, but I never told you how I got here. And maybe you're thinking, I strolled in here by myself because I was looking for God. I was seeking a relationship. No. As a matter of fact, I wanted nothing to do with God. Only thing I wanted to do with was that super hot girl that just so happened to come to this church. So she invited me to church, and I was like, I totally don't want to go to church, but I really want to hang out with you, so I guess I'll come to church. And my life has never been the same. And singles, this is for you. The person that invited me just so happens to now be my wife. So you never know what an invite to church can do for your life. I'm just saying. But I am a product of someone saying, come and see. Come and see. Come and see. I know it's scary. I know you have a fear of rejection. I know you don't know what to say, but would it help if I told you that there's an 80% increase in the probability that someone will say yes to an invite for Easter than any other time? People need Jesus just as bad in January as they do right now, but they're willing to say yes right now. Okay, I still don't know what to say. What if they ask me tough questions? What if they want to talk theology? What if they want to have a doctrinal debate? You have a story. God has changed your life in some way. So all you need to say is, my Jesus, he's changed my life. He can change yours too. But if you don't believe me, just come and see. Just come and see. Just come and see. That's why these invites are so important. That's why your social media is so important. Take these invites, give it to people. Post on social media about Easter. Get your car tagged. I can't think of a more easy way to come and see than just put Easter on the back of your windshield. That is the easiest come and see of all time. Just come and see. Someone's change is just waiting on you to start the process. And life transformation happens in Jesus' presence. But they first have to be invited into his presence. So if you've never experienced transformation or freedom found in Jesus, there'll be some prayer partners at the edge of the stage willing to talk to you and navigate you through life's greatest decision of giving your life to Jesus. But remember, what God gives to you is never meant to stay with you. It's always meant to flow through you. So then go and take these invites and tell everyone you know to come and see. Well, who do I start with? Andrew? He just started with his brother. So start with your circle of influence. Start with your gym. Start with your office. Start with your family, your mama, your uncle, your auntie, your cousin, your grandma. Start with everybody that you know. Tell them to come and see. Because someone's change is waiting on your courage to say, come and see. Come and see. They're probably messy. They probably talk a lot during movies. But you got to tell them to come and see. Come and see. Grab these invites on your way out and let everyone know that Easter is happening next week here at Church by the Glades, and tell them to come and see and watch God do the rest. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you how it helps us and illuminates our lives. God, we pray today that you would give us the courage not to just be unselfish, not to just value people, but God, we pray that you would give us the courage to go out and share our faith with other people, go out and tell others to come and see. Lord, we pray that you would give us the courage to be the radioactive spider to someone else's Spider-Man. Help us to be bold and do that today, Lord. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen.
Thanks again for listening to this week's message. We hope you enjoyed the podcast today. To hear more messages like this, make sure you subscribe and share with your friends. Don't forget to stay connected with us by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at CBGlades @PastorDHughes.